read, Brother President, just what we are voting on now, or can we?
Yes, he can if he'll come here and read it.
Chairman, I haven't had time to put it in writing. If you'll let me give you a little ad lib on what I'm about to write. That the committee be instructed to study the financial relationship between the Carver School of Missions and Social Work and the Southern Baptist Convention program of theological, religious, mission, and missionary education, and make recommendations thereabout.
That is what the chair understood. That is to say that his amendment is that the committee study the financial relationship between the Carver School of Missions and the Southern Baptist Convention and then make its findings and report. Are you in favor of that amendment? Those who are in favor of the amendment will please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
You don't even want to study anything about it. Is that right? Let's take it over again so we may be sure. Those who are in favor of the study of this matter will please say aye.
Aye.
Those who don't want to even study it will please say no. Ayes have it.
I want to introduce my amendment again.
Now we are ready to vote and we are clear past time. We are living on borrowed time.
Introduce my amendment, please.
Another one?
Yes, same one, but a different thing now.
Brother Freeman says he wants to introduce the same amendment, but it's a different thing. Now, the point of order is made and must be sustained by the chair that if it is the same, it can't be different.
Well, Mr. Chairman, it was lost because it was an amendment to an amendment. The amendment was lost, therefore my amendment went with it. I have a right to introduce it as an amendment to the
amendment. You would, if the time would permit. The time has long since gone, Brother Freeman. I think you'll recognize that. Unless the brethren want to have more time on it, the chair will call for the vote on the original motion carrying the amendment, that is to say the study of the Carver School.
I move the time be expended 30 seconds for the introduction of this amendment.
You have 30 seconds of time for introduction. I hope that there will be a time to vote after the introduction.
I want to renew my amendment.
They remind the chair that we have not voted on the amendment. I thought we had twice in ayes.
Extension.
Oh, extension of time for 30 seconds. Those in favor of extending the time 30 seconds will please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed will please say no.
No.
Noes have it. Time cannot be extended.
Mr. Chairman, I call for a division on that vote.
All right, brethren, the call is for division. I thought the sound was plain. Those who are in favor of extending the time for 30 seconds will please stand. Okay, will you please be seated? Those who are not in favor of extending it will please stand. Well, it would take a Solomon, and I don't see Ed here, to decide which has it. But we'll let you go ahead, 30 seconds.
Don't count time on me now. Brother, Chairman, and Convention, I simply want to introduce again the amendment, which was lost because it was an amendment to an amendment that was lost. And that amendment is that this committee's report be amended to include the statement that at least half the members of the new committee be, the committee on committees be requested to appoint them from rural church pastorates or from among men giving themselves to rural church work.
Motion is made and seconded that the committee on committees be instructed on the naming of this new committee to have at least half of them country pastors or those who are related to country work. Are you ready for the vote? You'll have to get to the mic, friend. I cannot hear you.
I do not understand what committee that these members are being requested to be added to. What committee is that?
The Committee on Theological Education.
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome. Are you ready for the question? Those in favor of this amendment which Brother Freeman has brought to you, that is, you remember what it was? Will you please say aye?
Aye.
Contrary, no. The ayes have it. Now we are ready for the vote on the original motion, the original amendment. Those in favor of that will please say aye.
Aye.
Those contrary-minded will please say no.
No.
No, your eyes are larger than your nose.
Emergency messages at the information desk for Dr. Allen West, Reverend Mrs. Matthews, M. Ray Bone, Reverend Jack Stanton, Dr. James Draper. The Golden Gate Seminary luncheon will be held tomorrow, Friday, at 1:30 p.m. in the Pan American Room of the Columbus Hotel. Tickets may be bought at the exhibit booth.
There's a special bus out at the east entrance to take anyone to the Southern Seminary luncheon. This luncheon is for friends and alumni at the Municipal Auditorium where the WMU meeting was at 1:30. If you come a little late, you'll still be able to get your tickets at the Municipal Auditorium. Thank you. All of you come.
Brother Ruth is recognized.
Mr. President, I would like to move that the secretaries of this convention be instructed to send messages to Dr. Austin Crouch, who is the Executive Secretary Emeritus of the Executive Committee, to Dr. W.W. Hamilton, a former president of this convention, and to Dr. Hyde C. Moore, who retired as the secretary of this convention 9 years ago here in Miami after serving as 31 years. I would like to, and J. Henry Barnett, who also served as secretary. I think it would be an excellent thing for this convention to remember these men who made such an outstanding contribution to this body.
You've heard this motion. I'm sure that that will be agreeable without any debate at all. But those in favor will please say aye. Contrary, no, and it is so ordered. We are now come to the time for the election of officers. Past time, as a matter of fact, the second vice president.
Brother President, I wish to put into nomination before the convention for second vice president the name of one of our leading ministers who was born in Bishopville, South Carolina, who, while a student at Mercer University, served country churches in Georgia. After seminary, returned to South Carolina to serve in Bamberg, South Carolina for more than 10 years, and now for the past 10 years and more, has been pastor of the Morningside Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia, Dr. James P. Westbury of Atlanta, Georgia.
Brother Meggs,
Brother President, I don't want to make a speech because the man that I want to name doesn't need a speech. He's known as a good teacher, as an author, as a beloved pastor, as a speaker much in demand, as a great friend. I'd like to place a nomination, the name of Dr. Kyle M. Yates of Houston, Texas.
I'm Sid Maddox of Stillwater, Oklahoma. You've nominated two fine men east of the Mississippi River. I'd like to place before you the name of a man out in Texas who was born in Mississippi and is now pastor of the First Baptist Church of San Angelo, Texas. He comes from a great family and a great name. His name is Dr. J.B. Level. He's been a country preacher part of his life like most of the rest of us. He's now doing a great work and is a great soul winner in that great city in Texas where he's pastor.
President, Arkansas is well known for Douglas MacArthur and Dizzy Dean. I would like to see W.O. Vaught of Emmanuel Baptist Church, Little Rock, as second vice president.
Are there any other nominations, brethren? Motion is made and seconded that the nominations be closed. Brother Merritt will please come and read the names of those who have been nominated, and we will proceed to vote upon them.
Westbury, Yates, Level, Vaught.
Now we vote by voice as we did in the case of the first vice president. All right, with common consent, we'll do that. Standing vote.
Take the last one first.
Those who are in favor of W.O. Vaught of Little Rock, Arkansas, will stand.
All right, be seated, please.
Those who favor J.B. Level of San Angelo, Texas, please stand.
All right, be seated, please.
If you favor Kyle M. Yates of Houston, Texas, stand.
All right, please be seated.
If you favor James P. Westbury of Atlanta, Georgia, please stand.
Thank you. The chair would announce that Brother Yates, it would seem by your votes here, is elected the second vice president of the Southern Baptist Convention for next year.
Brother Chairman and brethren, I'm W.A. Duncan from Atlanta, Georgia, member of the Chaplains Commission, and I have two very brief resolutions which I understand will be referred to the Committee on Resolutions automatically. I would like to just have one word, Brother President, to explain the first. It's concerning the chaplaincy of our military institute, West Point, New York. It appears that years ago a matter grew up that is far out of date now, namely, that the chaplaincy of that great institution be of one denomination only. United States Congress had passed a law to that effect. Later on, the law was repealed, but it was put into the hands of the administration of West Point Military Institution. It is the desire now that it shall take the course as the appointment of chaplains is in other places, namely with the chaplains' headquarters from Washington, D.C. Other bodies, Baptist bodies, as well as other denominations, have passed resolutions sent to the United States Congress for a change of this situation so that the appointment of the chaplains for West Point shall be in line with the appointment of the chaplains otherwise. So this resolution, in order to provide a more effective religious ministry to the Corps of Cadets, the staff and faculty, and all other personnel at the United States Military Academy, and in consonance with our national traditions and our present integrated national defense structure, the Southern Baptist Convention hereby requests the current session of the Congress of the United States to repeal the act, quote, act entitled, quote, an act to amend section 1309, revised statutes, providing a chaplain for the military academy, in a quotation. Approved February the 18th, 1896, and all amendments thereto, in order that religious ministry may be provided at the military academy by the Corps of Chaplains of the United States Army, in the same manner as in all other Army posts and organizations, and in the same manner now in effect at the United States Naval Academy, and as planned at the new United States Air Force Academy. Brother President, as this will be referred to the
Committee on Resolutions, then I'd like to read this additional resolution brought by me by request of the Chaplains Commission. Resolution to the United States Department of Defense. Whereas the United States Department of Defense has provided much excellent material for character, citizenship, and patriotic culture, and whereas the military has given much commendable cooperation with chaplains and other agencies in propagating the content of this material to officers, servicemen in the military, therefore be it resolved that the messengers of the Southern Baptist Convention meeting in Miami, Florida, May 18, 1955, and representing the constituency of 29,899 churches with a total membership of 8,182,305, desire to commend the Department of Defense for the positive religious character education and citizenship programs being conducted for all members of the armed forces. It is desired that greater effort be put forth in providing the kind of climate whereby a person in the armed forces may choose to grow spiritually and give a good representation of his faith in Almighty God and the American way of life wherever he goes. It appears that we frequently criticize for what they do not do. It is our hope that this may be encouraging in that we shall commend the things which we do love by way of the cooperation of the military with the chaplain. Brother Chairman, I move that these two resolutions may go to the Committee on Resolutions.
Automatically, that would be done, and it is so ordered. We come now to the next item of business, which is fellowship in song and the special music by the New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary. Brother Herod.
While the group is coming, let's all stand and sing number 19, On Jordan Stormy Banks. Number 19. All be seated. The New Orleans Seminary Choir is with us. Dr. Plunkett Martin is their director, and I've asked him to present his own numbers. Plunkett.
We're singing first from Isaiah, the 55th chapter, verses 1 and 3, Ho, Everyone That Thirsteth, by McFarlane. Our next number is an arrangement, our own arrangement, of Tell Me the Story of Jesus.
Thank you. which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness.
Oh!
Brother President, I think we've done wonderfully well throughout the morning in the consideration of the many very important matters before us. And now I'd like to move that we extend the time 30 minutes in order that we might conclude this morning's session in order.
You've heard the motion as made and seconded that the time be extended 30 minutes so that the Radio Commission may have its full time. Those in favor will please say aye.
Aye.
Contrary, no. And it is carried. The chair will recognize Brother Malcolm Knight, the chairman of the Radio Commission, who will please come and present the report.
Brother President and messengers to the convention, the minister.
Brother President, I think we've done wonderfully well throughout the morning in the consideration of the many very important matters before us. And now I'd like to move that we extend the time 30 minutes in order that we might conclude this morning's session in order.
You've heard the motion as made and seconded that the time be extended 30 minutes so that the Radio Commission may have its full time. Those in favor will please say aye.
Aye.
Contrary, no. And it is carried. The chair will recognize Brother Malcolm Knight, the chairman of the Radio Commission, who will please come and present the report.
Brother President and messengers to the convention, the ministry of the Radio and Television Commission is to present by means of music and message the Gospel of Christ. The report of the Radio and Television Commission is printed in your book of reports on pages 234 through 237, and there are no recommendations. I move its adoption.
You've heard the motion to adopt. Those in favor will please say aye.
Aye.
You want to speak to it first? Those who are in favor of adoption will please say aye.
Aye.
Contrary, no.
We report to the convention that the matter of the location of the headquarters of the Radio and Television Commission is in the process of being worked out, and within the next few days, the Radio Commission will be operating from its new location in Fort Worth, Texas, as was approved by the Executive Committee in accordance with the referral of this convention. Over 402 stations on each week, the gospel is preached through the Baptist Hour. Most of the members of that congregation do not have the privilege of seeing the preacher. I want to present now the preacher, the current preacher on the Baptist Hour series. And as he comes to be presented, I would like to ask those of you who hear the Baptist Hour and have heard Dr. McLean's messages to raise your hand that he might greet his audience. Dr. McLean, thank you, is so widely acclaimed in this series and is our current preacher, the pastor of the First Baptist Church of Atlanta. I take pleasure in presenting the preacher of the Baptist Hour.
We are certainly deeply in the debt of each of you who pray for and support the Baptist Hour. I want to say just a word about our prayers and our thinking in reference to it. Those of you who have been kind enough to listen know that we've made every effort possible to preach the gospel. We've tried to stay off of the fads, the isms, and all of the fancies, and in every 15-minute sermon, make Christ central and come around to an invitation. We've been very gratified at the response. May I make a suggestion as to how you can help? It's yours. And those of us who preach on the hour are woefully conscious of our own limitation, but we're also conscious of the impossibility to exaggerate the potential. Other denominations are making much over their own commensurate programs. The Roman Catholic Church has done a magnificent job in seeing that there's a great mission field through these media of radio and television. Now, you who are pastors can help by regarding it as sort of an assistant pastor to you. In no sense of the word is the Baptist Hour competitive with your own church program. It's an effort to underscore and make yours more worthwhile. To me, it's a privilege to work with a man like Paul Stevens, who's doing a most able job. He has some wonderful dreams and a fine vision. So let's not regard this as a little appendage to the program. Let's accept it without any apology, make it central in our approach instead of a specious auxiliary. 64 million people in these United States are unchurched. That's a pretty big congregation, and we need to reach them at least by radio, if no other means. I appreciate the personal things that you said to me. And all the glory is his. Thank you kindly for holding us up. You could print the program in your own church calendar, at least the name of the station and the hour in which it's preached in your community. We appreciate your fine support, and we know that we can count on it in the future. Thank you.
Dr. McLean goes on vacation from the Baptist Hour in a short time. The preacher for the summer quarter of the Baptist Hour will be Dr. Harold Seaver, the pastor of the Dolphin Way Baptist Church of Mobile, Alabama. And I take pleasure now in presenting your preacher for the summer quarter on the Baptist Hour, Dr. Seaver.
Mr. Chairman, members of the convention, I'm greatly humbled in the responsibility that is mine during the summer months to present the messages of the Baptist Hour. I earnestly covet your sincere prayer, and I want to reemphasize the statement made by Dr. McLean that each Baptist can definitely feel a part of this program in realizing what your prayers mean as the minister endeavors to preach. We do trust that you will pray and listen. Thank you.
Brother Paul M. Stevens vigorously and effectively leads the Radio and Television Commission as the director. And speaking now on the future of these ministries of television and radio for the proclaiming of the gospel, the director of the Southern Baptist Radio and Television Commission, Brother Paul Stevens.
Fellow Baptist, it's a pleasure to represent the Radio and Television Commission to this convention. We are one of the younger children of our denomination, but we are also committed to a tremendous task. As John Wesley said, so we say, the world is our parish. For the Radio and Television Commission is home missions, it is foreign missions, it is dedicated to lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ wherever radio waves will travel, wherever men live around the world. Today, it not only preaches the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in every state of our union, but it also carries it into seven foreign countries and far down into the Southwest Pacific, beaming our program into Borneo, into New Zealand, portions of Australia, into Japan, and all throughout the Far East. The Radio Commission is dedicated to the glory of God and to the lifting up of the Lord Jesus Christ wherever a radio wave will travel. So truly, the world is our parish. But we're not only a younger child of this convention, we are also a servant of this convention. for every message which is being presented to this entire meeting is being recorded. And any of you who in the future would like to have a recording of a message, if you'll write to the Radio and Television Commission, Fort Worth, Texas, you'll be able to receive a copy of it. Also, you'll find from time to time throughout our convention workshops are being conducted, where pastors and laymen alike are being trained and taught in the most effective use of radio and television in presenting Christ on the local level. Also, you'll find from time to time churches that are being built require additional technical information concerning the type of equipment they should buy and install in their buildings. And we're able to provide you with that technical advice and service free of charge to you, and which will make a great deal of difference, I'm sure, in the presentation of the messages in your auditorium. Our radio ministry is growing day by day. Farther and farther we reach in telling the blessed story of Christ, reaching millions who have never been reached before with our message. But radio is threatened on every hand, as many of you know. You know, I suppose, that the Baptist Hour is a free program. The Southern Baptist Convention does not buy time on any radio station anywhere in the world. On some stations in America, time is bought, but if so, it is done by a church or an association or by an individual or group of individuals. We operate completely and absolutely on free time. We go to the manager of a radio station and ask him to give us a half hour in which we may present this program. He may do so or he may not. As a result, we are at his mercy. If once we get on that radio station, we may stay there indefinitely, or we may be put off the first time some other group comes along asking to buy that time. We find that the fluctuation of the number of stations the Baptist Hour is on differs from day to day. As the baseball season comes in and then goes out, as the football games, as the prize fights, we are affected by any and every type of program or advertising agency in our country. As a result, it seems to me that sooner or later, Southern Baptists are going to come to the point where they want their program on, and they want it at a definite time, and they want to buy the best time possible, and they want to present their message not at 12 o'clock midnight Saturday, nor at 6 o'clock Sunday morning, but at a time when it will be heard, and when the message and the messages which are being presented can be fully appreciated by the unchurched millions in our country, much less by Southern Baptists themselves. In the field of television, however, the situation is more or less pioneer. It was G.K. Chesterton who said, "Christianity has not failed. It has been found difficult and untried." The same can be said of television and Southern Baptists. Television has been found expensive and therefore untried by our denomination. It is the purpose of our commission, of your commission, to lead Southern Baptists into the proper use of the greatest means of mass communication since the printing press came into existence, television. It has been said it will sell anything to anyone. And if it's being used so effectively in the entertainment world, even though the material which is presented is often low comedy and in many cases nothing less than sacrilegious. For it was this past month that one of the comics on one of our programs, which was beamed all the way across this country, when he was attacked in a friendly way by some of those on the show with him, lifted his hand in mockery and said, "My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And the people of America were Some were shocked. Others passed it off as the kind of thing you see on TV today, and there's very little we can do. Well, there's very much we can do. In the realm of reaching the minds and hearts of America, we can take this powerful means of communication and bear the message of Christ. We must do it. I cannot see how Southern Baptists can stand before the judgment bar of God and say, Lord God, we could have, but we did not. While others stepped in, rushed in, I should say, and grasped the opportunity and began to promote and preach their messages, Southern Baptists find themselves standing on the sideline. If I brought all the letters which we have received asking the question why and stacked them on this stage, they would weigh a lot less than the atomic bomb, perhaps, but they would make a lot more sense. Questions from every corner of our convention: why are we not presenting the gospel on television? The Catholic Church has done a most effective job. They have 61 different television programs in America today on a diocese level at least. While Southern Baptist, many of our pastors are stepping into the breach on a local level and presenting their services. But the great possibilities of the Word of God preached to the unchurched millions that sit in their churches, in their homes, night after night with their eyes glued to a television set, we're not even making an attempt, not even an attempt to reach them. As a consequence, your commission feels that its great future is in the field of television, that somehow, some way, we must be able to take a hold of this instrument and use it for the glory of God. And so, we have begun a three-pronged program, which, if successful, God will, it will put us on television on some stations the 1st of January of this next year. We have produced some of our own programs. Though our funds have been terribly limited, and though they've been supplemented by many of you, for we have written people everywhere and asked them for free contributions to our television program, though we have not received enough to produce 13 programs for 13 weeks, we have received enough to get started. And so before the end of the year, God willing, we shall have 5 films costing $25,000 apiece. Added to that, the Sunday School Board has been gracious enough to allow us to take some of the films which they have presented, and by reframing them and retitling them and cutting them down or adding to them to bring them to the total time length of 29 minutes and 25 seconds, we've been able to use several of their films. And then we have bought some religious films which we have done some work on in order to convert them and use them. And God willing, the 1st of January 1956, we'll have our first series of 13 films for television. All of this has been done as a result of the mercy and help and kindness of God and the wisdom of the members of our radio and television commission who give of themselves unstintedly to the development of this program. I hope and pray that you, recognizing the possibilities and the potentiality of television, will put us on your prayer list and keep us informed of your interest, and let us know that in the difficulties which have been ours, you stand by our side to assist and help and pray and support us. In 1949, many of you will recall that in the convention in Oklahoma City, it was decided that the Radio Commission was to be placed in the cooperative program for only a part of its support. The remainder of its budget was to be derived from personal solicitation. Since that time, we have written hundreds of thousands of letters to people who have written us, suggesting and soliciting help and assistance in carrying on our program. Today, this year, 1955, we received 2.33% of the cooperative program funds, 2.33%, which amounts to 230 $300,000. Our total budget is above the $400,000 mark. The additional $225,000 comes from people of every denomination and every color in America. Preachers of many various churches writing us. Colored men and women writing and thanking us for our program. Men of many denominations and of no denomination sending in their money and saying, keep up the good work. And so we find ourselves dependent upon what we receive by way of free will offering from people of all and no denomination in America. I do not believe that that program is consistent with our policy and with our feelings. I believe that sooner or later Southern Baptists will begin on the local level to give sufficiently to their own churches out of the means which God has given them. I believe that churches will begin to divide their funds in a more equitable way. And I believe that when that time comes, then the Radio and Television Commission will be able to receive a larger share of these funds and carry on its work in a way that is in line with the policies and with the desires, I should say, of Southern Baptists. In the meantime, we're doing the best we can, and we want you to pray for us. God is blessing in many, many ways. Our work is growing on every hand. The demands that are upon us to enter further additional fields are almost more than we can bear. This past week, a letter arrived from a preacher in Pennsylvania who said, in this part of the country, we hear many and varied stories about Southern Baptists. But it was not until I heard the Baptist Hour over a period of several Sundays that I came to understand that you preach the Word of God. And as a result, I want to be one to support your work with my money and with my prayers, though I'm not a member of your denomination. Over and over again it comes. But God is leading us out into greater fields of accomplishment. I hope and pray that you will always be proud of the work we do, and that you will be able to lift us to God in your daily prayers and support us in every way possible in the ministry which is ours.
Thank you, Brother Stevens, for this very fine presentation of the cause and the purpose of our Radio and Television Commission. It is time for us to adjourn, and we will remember that we come back tonight for a very great hour with our home mission report and other matters. You will stand, please, for a word of prayer, and then we shall go. May thy grace go with us, we pray thee now, our Father, as we shall return to our resting places, and then as we shall come back tonight. Give us grace and leadership and wisdom to deal with those things that come before us. We ask in his name, amen.